those who have the unfortunate responsibility of studying the statistics of suicide tell us that between Christmas Eve and New Year's Day, the issue seems to be at its lowest point during the course of the year. Nationally, it's at its lowest point. January, though, it begins its upward trend. It actually peaks in the end of May, the early part of June, and Monday is the day of the week when it typically happens most often. Mental health professionals refer to this phenomenon as what's called the broken promise effect. And the theory is, and the research goes something like this, the distraught person waits until after the weekend, hoping that the weekend will bring about some answers or some rest or some type of change. And when the weekend is over and it has broken its promise of new hope, then Monday ushers in the same old, and that desperation takes over again. They wait through the blink of winter, kind of hoping to get to the spring where the trees bud and the flowers bloom and things begin anew. And when spring comes to an end and the dog days of summer approach, and spring with its promise of new life and new hope has really ushered in with summer more of the same old, that mental struggle takes over. They will often hold off the contemplations of ending their life during this final week of the year, the Christmas celebration, because the stories around Christmas and the offering of new hope and the joy that the season is supposed to bring and the fresh start that comes with the new year, but the new year dawns and there's this same old cycle that seems to have a hopelessness about it. And when it ushers in the same old, there is a loss of hope once again. If you're somebody who struggles with depression or who has contemplated the ultimate terrible end, you need somebody to talk to who can offer you some hope. Call me. Call one of the staff members. Call your small group leader. Call somebody that you know and trust here in the congregation. And if you just can't do that, I've put the number for the National Suicide Prevention Line there. Because it's important that you, when you're looking for hope, that you talk to somebody about the opportunity of finding that hope. For the next 4 weeks, I want to talk about some of the hymns of the Christmas season. Because in the hymns of the Christmas season, there is this overwhelming documentation of hope. The hope that Christmas brings. There is a hope of eternity, a hope of difference making. There is a theological hope that comes. The song that we want to talk about today is the song, O Come, Emmanuel. And you're looking at your worship guide and you're going, well, we didn't sing that song. We're going to. Trust me, we're going to get there. But the song and the theology of the song has been around for almost 1,200 years. It was first written as a poem in Latin. And a Catholic monk picked up on the song sometime around the year 1200 AD and began to incorporate it in Gregorian worship or antiphonal chant singing in the cathedral. If you're familiar with the Catholic Church and the way the church is laid out, it's always laid out in the shape of a cross, with the altar kind of being up where the things intersect, and then the vestments being behind, and then in each wing there would often be canticles or choir singers or antiphonal singers. And so there would be this cross singing of, O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel. And then from the other side, and ransom captive Israel. Who mourn, and they would back and forth, and it was Gregorian until sometime 1800s when they actually added lyrics to it. And the song that we sing today is actually the melody and such is penned in 1861. So we're talking a long history, a long lineage of good theology, good music, good singing that offers great hope. What you don't know about this song is that there are seven stanzas. The most I could find in any of the hymnals that are in my office is four. And it's interesting because the hymnal writers don't always use the same verses. They'll pick three or four of the seven, but they don't always use the same ones. The first one is always pretty consistent, but it's been deeply rooted in theology, and all seven of the verses are deeply rooted in Scripture. And so it seems like an appropriate song to talk about, because a song with good theology will always stand the test of time, and it will always speak to us about the hope of the Christ. And O Come, Emmanuel certainly does that. It is Emmanuel, God with us. The story is Scripture-inspired, Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now, this is how the birth of Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to a man named Joseph. It was like being engaged, except you were responsible, kind of, is what it meant. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had a mind to divorce her quietly. The King James Version says he had a mind to just put her away. He could have, by law, not only put her away, but he could have, by Jewish law, also had her stoned to death. Because if you were engaged and you were doing things that married people were supposed to be doing and got pregnant before the actual wedding ceremony, the punishment was death. And he decided to divorce her, and the King James says, put her away quietly. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So he said, I really ought to sleep on this because this is a big life decision. And while he was sleeping, an angel came to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That verse often gets glanced over, but you need to understand that verse. It's critically important. All of the Old Testament tells us that Christ is going to come from the lineage of David. And so Joseph needed to be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, since Joseph's family was from the house of David. You can read it in Matthew about his lineage. Joseph needed to make sure that Jesus was his earthly adopted child. And so Joseph is obedient to the call and to the message from the angel, thus fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament, thus fulfilling the lineage requirement. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. God with us is Christ the Lord. You will call his name Jesus, and he will be Emmanuel. He will be God with us. The songwriters understood this, and the songwriters wrote about that. And the songwriters encapsulated the scripture to tell us that hope in Christ restores what is broken. God coming to be with us does so to restore what is broken. Listen to the way the poet writes the song, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Why do they need to be ransomed? Do you know what it means to be ransomed? It simply means to be bought back. You've been taken to the pawn shop and put up on a shelf and are collecting dust, and you need to be bought back so that somebody will own you and treasure you. Why do you need to be bought back? Why do they mourn? Why are they in exile? Why are they looking to be rescued? The answer is simple. The answer is the same as it is for you and me. And the problem with the children of Israel, the problem with the people of God, the reason this song was written the way it was written is because they had the same problem we have, and that is the problem of sin. They are broken. They are broken like we are broken. We need to be ransomed back. We are mourning in lonely exile. And we suffer with the broken promise effect in our life. Life is disappointing. People are disappointing. Situations let us down. But there is a hope. Emmanuel is God with us. And that hope restores what is broken. The people of Israel had watered down their faith. The people of Israel had allowed themselves to be contaminated with so much influence from the outside world that God basically told his people, you want the world can have you. But he always left a remnant of hope, of somebody who believed, of somebody who did the right thing the right way for the right reason. We've been talking about the 23rd Psalm, and in that we've talked about the Isaiah 53 passage that says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. What does that mean? That means that you have your sin and I have my sin, and just because our sins may not be the same doesn't make you or me any less sinner than anybody else. We each have gone astray. Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is something that affects everybody. When I was a little kid, early in my high school years, some of you may even remember this, around the week before Thanksgiving, there would be this treasure that would show up in the mailbox. It was from the Sears and Roebuck Company, and on the front was stamped Christmas Wish Book. And it was a catalog filled with probably 200 or 300 pages of toys. They were clothes in there too, but I always passed that section by. And I'd sit and I'd flip through that page by page, and I'd find the stuff that I'd want, and I'd circle it with an ink pen, and I'd dog-ear the pages on that book, and then I'd go back and lay it in a strategic place so my parents could find that, so they would know what I was wishing for that Christmas. My sister would go behind me, and she would undog-ear the pages that I had already dog-eared so that my parents couldn't find out what I needed for Christmas or wanted for Christmas. But I loved it when the wish book came, because when the wish book came, I would sit there and I would wish about what Christmas could possibly be. I want you to know that I don't have to wish that my sins could be forgiven. I want you to know that I can, as the songwriter says, rejoice, rejoice, because Emmanuel has come. The songwriter says, Emmanuel has come to you, O Israel. You say, well, I'm not Israel. No, but the reference is to God's people. And if you have made a choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, then you are one of God's people. And salvation and rejoicing has come to you. Even though you're in exile, even though you're broken, even though you need to be ransomed, even though you're lonely, even though you're in exile, the Son of God has appeared, and you can and shall rejoice. John in the New Testament was out teaching and baptizing. People were kind of giving him a hard time about why he was doing what he was doing. Verse 29 of chapter 1, it says, the next day, he, being John, saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. There's no qualifiers there. This is him. This is the real deal. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. You can rejoice because he takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said. It's a beautiful story. It is a beautiful story of hope. You don't need to live under the desperation of the broken promise effect because you can rejoice. Christ restores what is broken. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But not only is hope in Christ to restore what is broken, but the hope in Christ breaks the power of evil. We are surrounded by so many influences of the outside world. Stress and struggle, and worry, and disease, and woe, and poverty, and the list is long. And there's so many evil things that come and that assail us, so many things that the dark forces of Satan and his demons have just stirred the kettle of humanity. The second stanza of one of the verses says, O come, thou Messiah, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. Not only are we broken under the bondages of sin, but we live in a world that is controlled, manipulated more so by Satan and by his tyranny. But I want you to hear how Paul encouraged the church at Thessalonica concerning this subject. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, about your perseverance and faith and all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. You have persecutions, you have trials, are you feeling like you're having to endure? I love what my friend Tura said in reference to her husband and his failing health and his breaking body and his torn aorta and all those kinds of things that have happened. When I was praying with her, she said, oh, Kevin, you just need to understand that the Lord has always handled us well. What a beautiful statement to be made that the Lord has handled us well. She knew that she was not in this life on her own, but that she was being handled by God. Not manipulated, not coerced, but handled with gentleness and tenderness and kindness. The songwriter understood that we needed to be handled in this world with the greatness and goodness of God because Satan's tyranny rules and reigns so oftentimes. Verse 5. This is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. Verse 6, God is just, and he will pay back trouble to those who troubled you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. Do you get that? There's a twofer in there. Not only is he going to pay back those who are troubling you, but he's going to comfort you who are being troubled. Why? Because he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And you've made a choice to believe in and belong to him. Then the presence of his Spirit resides in you. You don't have to suffer under the broken promise effect. There is hope for you. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in a blazing fire with his powerful angels. And we think about that in the second coming in the great tribulation or whatever we want to have as our dispensation in the end times. But I'm telling you that the blazing fire can very easily be the star. And the angels can very easily be the ones that came to the shepherds and said, "Hey, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The star and the angels have appeared. And it has happened that the Lord Jesus has been revealed from heaven. He is God with us. Verse 8, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with an everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of our Lord and of the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all of those who have believed. Do you marvel at him? Are you marveling at him? When you drive by and you see the nativities, do you marvel? When somebody has a Santa Claus kneeling at the manger in their front yard, do you pause and marvel that? When you see the memes and all of the holiday things that come across your social media accounts, do you pause and do you marvel at the Savior who is Christ the Lord? Do you show up in church on Sunday morning during the holiday season and marvel at the Savior for whom we have come to sing about and celebrate and be mesmerized by? Do you marvel at him? He has appeared. We should marvel at him. He goes on to say, this includes you because you believed our testimony. In other words, what he says is, somebody at some point led you to a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be marveled by that. Verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good promise in yours and every act prompted by your faith. But wait a minute. We live in a world of Satan's tyranny. Absolutely. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm not subject to Satan's tyranny. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you will be glorified in him according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to wish for the bondage of sin to be broken in your life. You don't have to wish for the evil around you and in this world to be defeated, but instead you can and should rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to you, O child of God. And last, hope in Christ defeats death. Death dies when Jesus reigns. Death dies when eternal life is his offering. When we make that conscious choice to believe in and to belong to Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, lives in us. Not only in the here and now do we have his kingdom on earth, but also in the hereafter, because he will wipe away every tear and we will be with him in paradise and in the creation of a new heaven and of a new earth. The last verse that I want to talk about is the verse that talks about the day spring. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. What is the day spring? The day spring is that very first burst of sunshine that comes over the horizon early, early, early in the morning. I don't like morning. I don't do morning. But during Thanksgiving, I was privileged to see that day spring coming over Lake Mineral Wells. There it was. Nothing, and then that first little pop of the ray of sun coming over. And I'm reminded, as Luke was reminded, that there are tender mercies of our God. Does not the Old Testament tell us that His mercies are new every morning? Through the tender mercies of our God, Luke says, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. Jesus is the day spring. The songwriter captured that in his verse. The day spring comes and cheers our spirits with thine advent. Advent simply means the arrival. He cheers us with the arrival and disperses the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadow puts to flight. Where there is the light of the Lord, the darkness must disappear. Paul tells this pesky little church in Corinth in verse chapter 15, when the perishable, which is this old broken human body under Satan's tyranny, has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written has come true. Death is swallowed up by victory. Ha! Where is your victory, O death? Ha! Where, O death, is your sting? Ha! But thanks. Thanks be to God. He has given us victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel has come to you, O people of God. Let's stand together and let's sing.